verse 1. Huh?
This is the last chapter.
It is the last chapter. And then another book. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Jesse, can you read that?
This will be the third time I come to you, but in all two or three witnesses, every word shall be established.
I think you guys went over that last week, but there's a little history test. Oh, history test. We're making copies. A little history test. Is a couple weeks ago, Thomas definitely will remember this. A couple weeks ago, I told you that there is a special number as far as the Hebrew culture.
I know it.
Cassia.
Three
is a special number. What mean? Anybody
remember? It depends on the context, but you told us that there's the three heavens. I think you told us a few examples, but there's the atmospheric heaven, and then space, and then heaven.
Right, but so that's the third heaven, but the number three would be
Anna? Unity or holy. Seven.
Holy, yes. You're both right. Anybody else have anything else? Hayden?
No.
You look like you have something.
I'm just full of other information.
It's completion, or finished, or it's done. So it's kind of complete or finished. So it being established, being finished, I've said this enough. Three times. I know it doesn't seem like that, but three times. Deuteronomy 19, chapter 19, verse 15. Aiden?
One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses the matter shall be
And this is what Paul is kind of quoting from, but one witness, it's not really an airtight case, right? Because if you have one witness, that person just might not like the other person, So, one witness can make a difference in a case, but it's not a strong case. Now, but two or three witnesses telling the same story, not necessarily word by word, it just sounds rehearsed, right? If it's word for word, it just sounds rehearsed. Are the same, then that's something to look into, right? And it's kind of like the gospel, right, of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's not, you can read it and go, well, they're different. But if you think about it, we're telling a story. If we watch an event and they had two different people telling the same story, they don't have different takes on it, but it's the same story. So, but that's something where if you have a couple witnesses, then it's, at least those people think it's true, so it's something to look into. Paul is saying this is the third time coming to the Corinthians. They should know what he's talking about. As he said it, they might have forgot once. And then the second time around, a reminder, then he reminds again. Because it's been the three times, it's that completion or establishment, what we know about Paul is what we read in the letters, right? Now, there are some historians at that time will jot down certain things, but we don't get, they don't say everything. And it's not like they had Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or other social media around, so we don't know exactly how many times Paul had a euro at the Corinth Cafe, right? He didn't go, hey, I'm here again. Um, So, but there are in there's some verses that reference that there was another letter or maybe another visit by Paul. I don't know how long Paul took to write a letter, one of his letters, but it doesn't seem unreasonable that he wrote more than what's in the Bible, right? It seems like he might have wrote, maybe they just didn't get passed on from church to church, maybe they were more specific. So I don't know how Paul's counting how many times he came to the Corinthians. You know, was it visitation or when he was actually there, letters or a combination of both? Not that there's any errors in the Bible is where I'm going with this. It's, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, this, and that. But not that there's any errors. There's just sometimes there's little details that aren't as clear as others. You know, we need to make sure that those details don't change what the Bible's saying, though. You know, if we want to add something, oh, well, he came, you know, this is at, you know, 2 Corinthians is actually 3 Corinthians and all this. But as long as it doesn't change what the Bible's saying. Because we don't want to change the meaning of the words. We should know, you know, what Paul is saying is that, you know, he's told people, and it should be clear, he's told them again and again and for a third time. They should know what he's saying, right? He's saying that the Corinthians should know what he's saying, and they are responsible for what he's told them. They're responsible for the truth because they should know it. Verses 2 through 3, Lily, do you feel like reading that? Or can you see it with your eyes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have
sinned
before, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of
Christ
taking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you.
So the Corinthians, if we read in through the chapter, you know, Corinthians has told Paul that he seems like he's really stern in his letters, but in person, you know, he was just a weak person. You know, I kind of think it's kind of funny, our human nature can be a little ridiculous. You know, we want grace, don't we? We want grace for ourselves at least. You know, but we'll complain if there's too much grace. You know, especially too much grace for other people sometimes. So, you know, we're fickle, I feel like. The Corinthians, you know, they were getting past the infant stage. You know, they were ready for more than just milk. You know, they were growing up. They're getting to that where they know better than to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Right? Not that they were never going to make any mistakes. It's the part about knowing. You know, knowing that they made a mistake, or knowing that they made a mistake, but they're okay with it, but, you know, it's that knowing that they made the mistake. The Corinthians wanted to hear from God. Right? That's one thing about them, that they truly wanted to hear from God. And nobody's questioning that. is that they, if they wanted to hear from God. But I think that maybe it was their background of these false gods they maybe grew up with. Is remember, Corinth was a Greek nation, you know, a Greek city. So they had a lot of false idols, and that's probably what a lot of them grew up with. So they seem to think that the only way God, you know, that their God had to be strong, and if he was strong, he had to be stern all the time. Now, God's not weak if he shows you grace. His grace is love for us. You know, that helps us to be strong. And that's what Paul is trying to get across. Verse 4. Anna?
For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you.
So Jesus, I don't think anybody's questioning if he's strong or not, right? Jesus was strong. But he could speak through Paul, who was weak. Right? This guy, he's weak, not as strong as Jesus, but Jesus could be speaking through him. As Jesus appeared to be weak when he was crucified. Right? We know he wasn't, but you'd think, oh, well, he died, so he's weak. But he risen by the power of God. So Paul, who was weak, but by the power of God, could live with Christ and speak through him and have strength with him towards other people. Verses 5 through 6. Cassia?
Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But trust that you will know that we are not disqualified.
Alright, who likes taking tests? Nobody?
Or taking history tests.
You like taking history tests? There's sometimes it's because, you know, sometimes we don't mind some tests because we feel like we don't do good at them, right? So when Paul's asking the Corinthians to examine themselves or test themselves, he wasn't asking or he wasn't questioning if they believed. No, that he wasn't questioning if they truly wanted or believed in Jesus. He wanted them to look at, you know, their level of faith in different situations. You know, when we look at ourselves, we also can see how people look at us, right? When we examine ourselves. But I know, as far as myself, and I know sometimes we can be our worst critics, can't we? And sometimes, and there's probably somebody out there what, you know, examine themselves, they'd flunk themselves right away without really looking at it. You know, we can't do that. And in examining ourselves, what Paul's talking about is examining ourselves, he's not talking about our failures or our failing. You know, it's not that pass or fail. Because how are we saved? Do our works save us? Our works don't save us, right? So, our works can't unsave us, can they? They can. I mean, it's a tricky thing, is because if we truly believe, we want to do good, right? We want to do good works. Right, exactly. It's your motivations or how you feel about your intentions, your goal, if you will. But if we mess up, that doesn't mean, oh, we're done. God's done with us if we mess up one time. You know? So those works can't unsave us. a way to discover where we are on our walk with Jesus. Because we all have this walk with Jesus, right? We're traveling this road and we're growing. And now, do we all grow at the same rate? No, some people are taller, some people are shorter, right? And there's conviction levels. Everybody has some conviction levels, what might vary in different levels, right? And that's something we are evaluating. And things that we need to work on, there's always things we need to work on, right? There's things we need to be relaxed on. There's things we need to be more stern with, right? Those are things what we need to look at on ourselves. But once we get that information, if we do believe, we should want to do better, shouldn't we? We should take that information and apply it. We don't just take that information, oh, that's nice, and just go about our business. But we should want to do better. I mean, that's the choice right there. Not that we'll never, ever do things wrong again or fall in that same trap. We might. But it's the goal is the finish line, right? We should be able to, we're focusing on the finish line, but how we run that race, when we're running a race, that's what we need to work on. Yeah, we keep the same goal. We're trying to get to the end, but we need to run that race, right? And how we do it, that's what we're going through life with. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, and it's Caden. Okay, Kyler. I was just going to say that. I am terrible with names. I've messed up, I think, everybody's name here once. Yeah. No, just once. Yeah. That's Cassiopeia and Kyler. All right, can you read that?
Yeah. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
So we all have a race before us. We're enduring it, how we run that race. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 7 through 9. Thomas, can you read that?
Yeah. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, rather that you should do what is honorable. Though we may seem disqualified, or we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be complete.
So once we know the truth, we're held by the truth, aren't we? Once we know 2 times 2 is 6, and it can never change, right? Mm-hmm. 2 times 2 is 4, right? We all know this, right? But it doesn't change. It never changes. If I come up with a different answer, I'm wrong. So we're held by that truth. Paul prays that they do no evil. That they're complete. And another word, what they translated is perfect. He's praying that they're perfect. Not that they walk around, look at me, I know more than you. Right? You don't want that appearance, like, oh my God, you guys, thinks he's perfect. But being complete is something we're aiming towards. It's just like aiming towards, it's that goal we're aiming at, right? We can miss 100% of the time, but we're still shooting for that bullseye, right? We're all under construction, right? There used to be a saying a couple years ago, it's like, you know, under construction, but we're all under construction. We're not perfect. Nobody's been perfect except for Jesus, but it doesn't mean we don't strive. We don't aim for that. And Paul's praying that they're that. Obviously, he knows they're not going to be perfect, but he wants them to set that goal, to aim for that. And then Paul, like many people in the ministry, you know, they're happy when Jesus no longer has to show strength through Paul. You know, but for the Lord to show his strength through others. That's the condition. Is that, you know, that's Paul's goal. He's not always going to be there to hold the Corinthians' hands. He knows that. You know, he wants them to know the Lord and be comfortable with the Lord without him being there. So they need to be strong in the Lord. You know, I'm not going to be there forever. You know, my birthday's coming up and I'm nearly a third of my finished age, right? So, I'm going to be 52, so I'm getting up there. I'm getting up there. So, I'm not always going to be there, but we need you guys to be prepared or be living for the Lord without people teaching you. And you need to pass that on. That's the whole process, is that you have kids, you're raising, you're helping out in the church. So that's Paul's goal, and that's why he's happy. That's why he's glad when they could be strong in the Lord without him. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. Stephen, can you read that?
Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction.
So, though God had given Paul authority, right? And Paul had that authority. He could have came down on the Corinthians really hard for keep messing up, right? However, he'd rather show grace than be grumpy, right? He'd rather show that grace towards them. But if they kept pushing and tiptoeing around the line, he's going to have to tell them the truth. Now, it may not sound so nice. Sometimes it doesn't sound so nice in the moment when we're corrected, but it's still true. And that's something we need to learn sometimes. But Paul would rather not do that. He's asking them, you know better. You know, if I show up that I don't want to correct you, I want you just to do what you know, what you've been taught. Verses 13 or 11 through 13. Jesse.
Finally, brethren, become complete. Be of three comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet
you. All right, so farewell. Farewell. You know, it's not see you never, not adios. It's saying that he's hoping that everything's good while we're apart. You know, that everything's fine. You know, I'm going to be gone. It's not forever. I don't know how I'm going to be gone. But I want everything to be good. You know, aiming towards better right? That's what we should be doing. That's what Paul's wishing or praying for us, is to aim towards being better. Being there for others. Actually being there for others. You know, not causing divisions between other people, between your brothers and sisters, and thinking the best of others. You know, and if we do this, God will show you the same kindness. In James chapter 4, verse 8, Aiden.
Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Right, so draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. And he also goes as far as, you know, as far as the holy kiss, you know, obviously, actually still in Europe is some people, you know, they greet each other with the kiss on the cheek and stuff. But, I mean, that was just kind of like the norm. So today, it'd be more, especially in America, it'd be more like handshakes or fist bumps, you know. You know, so it's greeting each other well. Verse 14. Literally.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the
communion.
Holy Spirit be with you all.
So Paul leaves the Corinthians with one last little bit of knowledge, right? It's a blessing from the Trinity. You know, grace from Jesus. Jesus gave us all this grace by taking our sins. You know, the love of God in the communion from the Holy Spirit. You know, when we believe, if we believe, we enter into this relationship with God. In all relationship, communion or the communication, you know, that's part of the relationship, that's key. Right? And then talking or conversing between each other. You know, knowing or figuring out where this person's at or and where you're at. That is very important in a relationship. You know, communion is a must for having a long-lasting relationship. You know, you need to have that time where you talk to each other. And that's what we should be doing, is we should having that relationship with God and not forgetting Him, just not doing it on Sunday when we're here at church, but all the time. Anna, can you close us in prayer?